Well, good morning. Good to see you. Romans chapter 5 in your Bible. I'm Pastor Mike. If you're a guest with us, we're honored and glad that you're here. Good to see you. These days, we're talking about what I call God's grace and my mess. And so pretty much, I would believe everybody here, all morning long, we've talked in all of our worship services about the same common issue. We've all made a mess of our lives. Romans chapter 5, we'll be looking today because Paul is writing this letter to the church in Rome. And as he's writing to this church, he reminds them of God's grace. So some of you here today are very familiar with God's grace, and I'm just going to remind you of what you already know. But there are others who are here today, and you're not aware of what the Bible teaches about God's grace and the grace of Jesus Christ. So I want to greet you today, and may the Lord bless you. Grace and peace to you from the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're glad that you're here. I was thinking these days about how hard people work to stay alive. You know, when it comes, I'm talking about physical life. And what I'm about to say is not a criticism. It's an observation, and I too am this way. But we really work hard to stay alive. We try to exercise. We try to eat right some of the time. We try to take vitamins some of the time. We try to do what we have to do if the doctor gives us our medicine. We work at trying to be healthy. All of our care providers, we've got a wonderful group of people in our church who are involved in the medical community, and they work hard, and it is their pledge to help people have meaningful life and to stay alive. We work hard at staying alive physically. Some of us in this room, I got to talk about this today, because if you're going to understand God's grace, the grace that is greater, the grace that's greater than our sin, greater than our troubles, greater than even death, we have to think about something very hard, but it's real. We try to stay alive because we don't want to die. But common to every person living on the planet, whatever language, whatever background, there have been all kinds of funeral services held today and will be tomorrow and the next day, because the reality is that every person born into this world will die. So today we think about the ultimate. What happens from my mess? The ultimate reality is that because of the sin in my life, I die. So physical death comes for us all. Comes for the young, comes for the middle age, comes for the old age. Now, there are some of you in here, you haven't thought a lot about this today, but Pastor Mike's job is for us to go back to God's Word and remember, you're not going to always be alive. I say to this church all the time, and it's not a joke, it is important for you to remember, you are older today than you've ever been. In fact, turn to your neighbor and tell them, you're older today than you've ever been. Now, don't say, and you look like it. That's not appropriate. And may I also remind you, this is the sober reality, but I mean, we're in church, this is important. Remember, you have been given another day, but this is one less day you have for the rest of your life. Why do I say that? Because we're talking about life and death issues here. When we come to church, we come, yes, to hear God's Word, to learn God's Word. But we are here dealing with life and death. We're dealing with the issues that permanently set our eternal condition. So in Romans chapter 5, we'll be reading these two verses. It's a conclusion to all that Paul's been saying about God's grace, which is greater and abundant and more powerful than death and sin. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But I'd like for you now to stand and honor the reading of God's Word. And we'll read these two verses together. And they'll be the focus of the next few minutes together. And I'll make some comments about God's grace in my mess. Romans 5:20. The law, that is, remember, the Ten Commandments. The law is what Paul's talking about. The law, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Honor your father and mother. Don't commit adultery. have no other gods before me. The law came in saying those things, and that transgression would increase. The law, in other words, shows us our sinfulness. The law simply says, this is what God's standard is, and what we all say is, oh my, I can't measure to God's standard. Notice, the law came in so that the transgression, and please notice the word, would increase. But where sin increased, there's the word again, and here's the focus of our message today. Grace abounded or increased all the more. Where sin increased, here's the good news, grace increases all the more and increases all the more where there is sin. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, Heavenly Father, we stand here before you today with a copy of God's Word in our hands, and our hearts are filled. You are a wonderful Savior, but Lord, we also today must talk about life and death and grace and mercy and life. So Lord, I pray for my friends who are here today. I do not know all of their spiritual conditions, but I pray that you might, by the help of the Holy Spirit, reveal to people who are here today their spiritual condition. Whether they have life in Jesus and the grace that abounds over sin and death, or whether they are still in their sin and still under death, and they will perish if they do not come to Jesus. So Lord, may the words of Scripture teach us today, and may my words honor Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, there is a tyrant. There is a tyrant. You know, we're Americans. We don't like kings and we don't like tyrants. But there is a tyrant reigning in the world today. I said it earlier in my comments as I introduced this. No matter the language, no matter the background, no matter where you're from, the tyrant is that sin and death rule over, that sin and death have a grip on every person born into this world. The Bible says you're going to be born one day and you're going to die one day. That's just the facts. And so death rules over those who sin, and those who sin, I could have added the reverse, those who sin are ruled by death. But you see, today we understand something very important in verse 20. Sin increases. And in verse 21, sin reigns in death. So I want to talk to you about something that's, I have to say this to you, because it's important. This is why we go on missions. This is why we tell people about Jesus. You know, in our mission statement at this church, we say we're going to learn to follow Jesus, to love other people like Jesus, and tell the world about Jesus. Why do we need to tell the world about Jesus? Because people who do not know Jesus, church, die and perish in their sin. So this is a very real issue for us in our families, among our friends, those we work with. Talking with someone in the hall today, one of our men, who said sadly that a fellow worker died at work this week, 42 years old she was, and he said, I don't know if she was born again. I don't know if she knew Jesus. Death and sin, sin and death. Death and sin, sin and death. So when you read Romans 5, you read about death and sin, sin and death that grips the whole world. This tyrant doesn't let go. And so we read something very interesting. Paul gives us some commentary on how to understand this phrase that where the transgression increased in verse 20, sin increased. So all around the world today, when you turn on the news, sin and death, death and sin, sin and death, death and sin. We always think, well, could we have some other topic? But at the end of the day, man's condition, woman's condition is the same, church. Sin and death, death and sin. It is a horrible condition to be in, under a ruler who has no grace, who has no mercy. So I want you to turn your eyes back up to verse 12 in Romans 5. Romans 5, 12 says, therefore, and I believe I put it here on the screen for you, therefore, just as through one man, that is Adam, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sin. I want you to let me read this carefully with each phrase emphasizing them. So when our father Adam, father of the human race, came into this world, was created by God. God gave him command of what he was to do, and Adam chose to disobey God. The Bible says, through one man, sin, please look at the language of your Bible, entered into the world, a perfect world without sin. But now sin has entered into the world because of the disobedience of Adam and Eve. And the Bible says death also entered the world. Death, please pay attention to Paul's words, through sin. Death came through sin. Sin and death. Death and sin. So death, this is it, spread to all people. Death spread to all people. And generation after generation, year upon year, century upon century, decade upon decade. Why, some of us have gone on trips and visited ancient gravesites, graveyards. When I traveled here from home today, I passed Union Cemetery. I was there yesterday conducting a funeral, standing on those grounds, and they're still adding bodies to that cemetery. Sin entered into the world, and death through sin. Listen, death spread to all men. Why? Because we've all sinned. So to this hour, we're reminded of this. When physical death comes, we are learning something of what God's judgment was on sin. I want you to take your Bible quickly, Genesis chapter 3. It's not hard to find. First book in your Bible. Just go over to Genesis, very first book, Genesis 3. And if you have your Bible, I want you to see what God said as judgment upon Adam. Verse 17, cursed is the ground because of you. Now creation is affected by the sin of man. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Anybody here not know anything about toil? It's called going to work. Work. Toil. All the days of your life you toil. But thorns and thistles, it shall grow for you. And you will eat the plants of the field. Verse 19, by the sweat of your face you will eat bread until you return to the ground. Because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So the judgment is clear. Sin entered the world. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And God said, you will return to the dust. So the Bible says, therefore, through one man, sin entered into the world. And death through sin. So death spread to all men because all sinned. Well, when we read in chapter 4, Adam and Eve have two sons, Cain and Abel. One gave an offering, Abel, that was pleasing to God. Cain's offering was not pleasing to God. And God spoke to him about, be careful about sin in your life. Cain goes and speaks with his brother. Verse 8, chapter 4, verse 8. Cain told Abel, his brother, what God had said to him. And it came about when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. It wasn't long after disobedience that sin spread beyond Adam and Eve. They ate of the fruit. Now Cain kills his brother. Murder already. Innocent dying at the hands of someone who murdered. Sin and death and death and sin. The tyrant's reign goes on to this very hour. Death rules over all those who sin. And we read in these words in verse 21 of Romans 5, sin reigned in death. That's the story of all of civilization. That's the story of all of history. Sin reigned in death. And to this day, we find ourselves in the same condition. So what is it that's more than that, Pastor Mike? That's the story. That's the good news. God's grace is greater than, is better than, is more abundant than even death and sin. So read your Bible. Notice in verse 20 of Romans 5. But where sin increased, here it is, grace increased all the more. Wherever there's sin, grace increases. Wherever there's death, grace comes. Grace comes. And then we read these amazing words, through Jesus Christ, verse 21, there is a new reign and rule. It is the grace of God. Grace rules over those who believe on Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus reigns and rules over all, and His grace is for all. So the call is this. Will you come out of your deadness and believe on Jesus and come to life? That's the call. It's why we go to our friends. It's why we appeal. It's why we preach. It's why we give out tracts. It's why we send missionaries. We appeal to those who are dead in their sin and on their way to perishing and on their way to eternal separation from God. We appeal to them. Over and over we appeal to them to believe on Jesus Christ and experience what we're talking about. Grace that is greater, grace that is better than anything we experience in our life before Jesus. Grace. God's grace for my mess. My mess ends up in death. I have to tell you. You need to know. Some of the ladies were aggravated me out in the hall after I'm going to say this to you, but I'm going to say it anyway. I say it to this church all the time. You're older today than you've ever been. You know that, don't you? You know that. We just said it a moment ago. We're thinking about this. Realize that you don't have as many days as you once had. So, even though I'm a follower of Jesus, there's one enemy, as Paul tells us, still in place, physical death, unless Jesus comes and stops death at His second coming. So what do we do? Well, we learn to live and we learn to die. We're ready to live for Jesus and we're ready to die. But you see, only followers of Jesus do that. You know, I've stood at too many gravesides, too many funeral homes, conducted too many services in my life. The saddest thing in the world is to go and see a family who know they have no hope about their loved one. Whether their loved one knew Jesus, and many times families who didn't know Jesus and didn't care about God. And in the end, you know, people would say to me, well, preacher, I guess this is it. Yes, for some people, it's it. When you die without Jesus, that's it. Jesus said, it's the verse most of you learned when you were children. For God, it's red letter words. Jesus said it, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him, listen, shall not perish. Friend, we used to sing this all the time when I was growing up. Rescue the perishing. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Rescue the perishing. People in your family who do not know Jesus are not all right. People in your family who have not confessed Jesus as Lord and believed in their heart that God raised Him from the dead are not all right. They're on their way to perishing. They're perishing, my friend. We must be gripped by the tyrant of death and sin. Sin reigns through death. But praise God, we read these words about someone who brought us much more. Let me just take your eye through these. And let me talk for a moment about the blessings of grace. Just follow me along. Look at this. So Paul says to us, grace abounds all the more. But look what he said earlier in the chapter. Verse number 9. Much more then, having been justified by His blood, we have been saved from the wrath of God. Much more. What's happened to me? Much more. Because of God's grace, when I believe on Jesus, I'm saved from the wrath to come. Look at verse number 10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. You see, Jesus died. The death of Jesus came. How much more? Now we're reconciled. You see, the death of death came in the death of Jesus. Did you hear me, church? That's why when you stand at the graveside and you commit the body of a believer in Jesus to the ground, death has no longer any power. That person has eternal life. When you believe on Jesus, you possess eternal life. We'll talk more about that in a minute, but hear me. The death of death came at the death of Jesus. Much more, the Bible says, much more having been reconciled by the death of Jesus, verse 10, we are saved by his life. Look at verse 15. But the free gift is not like the transgression, for if by the transgression of the one, Adam, many died, much more, listen, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. So the blessings of God are clear. What are they, Pastor Mike? Well, here it is. We've said it before. What is it that's much more? What happens when I follow Jesus and ask him to forgive me of my sin and to get me out of my mess? Here's what happens. God justifies you. Even in the midst of my sinfulness, we read these words, Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinning. Did you hear me? While we were yet sinning, while we were still in our sin, while we were committing sin, we came at that moment and we heard about Jesus. We may have come to church that day filled with hate and anger and bitterness. We may have been sitting at home when someone talked to us about Jesus and we heard that message and we're living in anger or having conducted ourselves in an inappropriate way with other people. While we were in our sin, Christ died for us. The blessings of God's grace are centered and focused upon the death of Jesus. And in the death of Jesus, he destroys the power and hold of the tyrant death. No more does death hold those who know Jesus. You're justified. God now justifies you. You don't justify yourself. God justifies you. God gives to you life. We read in verse number 17, for if the transgression of the one death, reigned, through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of the righteousness will reign in life. Look, when you come to know Jesus, you gain new life in the life you have left before you die. You live differently after you come to know Jesus. You don't do some of the things you used to do. You change your attitude. You change your desires. You change your motivations because on the inside, the Holy Spirit of God is there. And as he works inside of you, he changes your mind. As you read God's word, as you pray, as you learn to do what Jesus did and practice what Jesus did daily in your life, the Holy Spirit of God teaches you and speaks to you. As you gather with God's people, we celebrate, we praise God together, we grow together, but we have life. The blessings of grace, the reign of grace is justifying me in the midst of being a sinner, giving me life, and giving me a righteousness I can't earn. Verse 19, for as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so, please pay attention, through the obedience of, and notice in your Bible, it's capitalized, the one, the only one. The only one who could obey God completely, the many are made righteous. Aren't you glad Jesus fully obeyed God, clear to the point of death and never sinned? Aren't you glad, church? You have a new righteousness and a right standing with God. Why? Because of the one, Jesus, who stood and declared that he would walk with God, came to die in our place. And finally, oh, this is it. This is the best of all, eternal life. We talk about eternal life a lot, but you see, grace reigns. Grace reigns, and those who follow Jesus are under grace, and you have experienced eternal life. Some of my favorite words in all of the sayings of Jesus, John 11, 25 and 26. I'll read it, and we'll be done. Listen, John 11, 25 and 26. I am the resurrection and the life. Steve had us quote it this morning. I am. Listen, Jesus didn't say, somebody else, he said, I am. He declared himself the resurrection from the dead and the one who gives life. I am the resurrection and the life. Please hear me today, friend. This may be the most important thing you hear all day, because you're still dead in your sins. You're still far away from God. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and I am the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies." If you believe in me, you will live even if you die. How can that be? We put their body in the ground. How can it be? And Jesus said, "Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." And he asked Martha at this particular place, "Do you believe this?" That is grace greater. That is grace that abounds to overcome the final tyrant. You know, there are a lot of people who wake up every day and do everything they can to keep from thinking about what I've been talking about for 20 minutes, dying. But you see, friend, unless you face the reality that you will die someday, you will never consider what your eternal condition is. You think it will be this way forever. It's not going to be this way forever. There are those who were here in 2012 when I first came around this place who are not here anymore. They've gone to be with Jesus in 2013 and 2014 and 2015 and 2016. And the tyrant of death just keeps moving across the world. You've got to be ready to live, but you've got to be ready to die. And the only people who are ready to die are those who have believed on the one who died for them and came back to life, and who is alive, and who's our Lord and Savior, who gives you a new start, a new life, and wakes you up out of your dead, sinful stupor. He wakes you up when you come to know him. And you wake up and you say, "Why was I acting like this? Why was I living like this? Why was I doing this?" Because you were in sin. You were dead in your sins. Friend, listen. There's double deadness in the life of the person who does not know Jesus. They are moving toward eternal death when they physically die, but they're already dead. So today, those of us who are part of this church, may this be our reminder. We go and talk to people about the grace of Jesus, because in Jesus, you can have eternal life. You can have a new righteousness. You can be justified of your sins. You can be forgiven of your sins and start to live a whole new way. But at the same time, those of you who are here, you say, "Pastor Mike, you're scaring me. I'm just trying to be truthful what the Bible says. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to frighten you. But I am trying to wake you up to remember this. This may be the last day you ever live." If today, we ask people all the time when we talk to them about Jesus, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure that you would go to be with Jesus in heaven? That's the question. It's the question for all of us. Are you ready? God's grace makes us ready. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? I am. Thank you for listening. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. I've sought to appeal to you the best I can. And I love you in Jesus. And may the grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Thank you for listening. But for some of us here today, we really do need to finish with all of our religious thinking, and we need to get down to it and say, you know, at the bottom line, I'm still in my sin. I'm still not where I ought to be with God. I'm still not walking with God. I don't have a lot of desire for God. But you feel drawn. You feel drawn to the Lord. You feel drawn to what we've talked about. You want God's grace. Friend, that's what many of us in this room have done the same thing. You're not alone. That's what the Lord does. He draws us. You heard it in the singing of our choir and of our people. You felt it in this place. What is that? You feel it's the presence of the Holy Spirit, the love of God for you, so that you come out of your deadness and come to life in Jesus. And Jesus is the way. And he gives you his grace. And to all of us who are followers of Jesus, he's given you grace today and grace today and grace today and grace today. He gives us grace. He just keeps pouring out His grace. He lavishes His grace on us. So we must learn to be graceful, gracious people who have been treated with such grace. So if you're here this morning, we always call people to make a public decision to follow Jesus, or to make a public decision to join this church, or to make some other kind of spiritual decision. If God has put something on your heart and you need to do it publicly, I want to encourage you to do that. Don't be afraid to do it from the balcony or down here below. God's grace is greater than your sin, friend. God's grace is greater than physical death. God's grace is greater than any problems or troubles you're having, but you must call on the Lord Jesus. You must come to the throne of grace to find help and mercy in time of need. So that's what we do right now. Heavenly Father, we come now in Jesus' name to the throne of grace. Thank you for this period, this season of history. That's a time of grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are a wonderful Savior. You died for us that we could live under the reign of grace. So, Lord, I pray for my friends who are here this morning who need to make public decisions. Give them the courage to do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand, please? We're going to sing this old-time song. Sung it for years, but if you need to come, just as I am, is what we're singing. Sing with me. Come on if you need to come. You're among friends. Come on.
Just as I am without one plea.
Amen.
Come on. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to He whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Bow your heads, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lori's going to play just for a moment. All right, in the quietness of this moment, what spiritual thoughts are you having right now? No, not about what you're going to do after the service. What right now, before it leaves you, what is God saying to you? Listen, pay attention. What is He saying to you? We're going to sing one more verse. Thank you for your patience while we're dealing with these who've come. We're going to sing one more verse. That's an opportunity for you to come. Let's sing.
Just as
I am
though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings within and fear, with hope, O Lamb of God, I come.
Thank you very much. Would you be seated, please, for just a moment, Todd? Before Todd introduces these tonight, very important. Church, make sure you can, if possible, be back. Our missionaries are going to be sharing with us from Cuba. Been on the Cuba trip, and Todd will be leading us, and you don't want to miss this. It's a very, very privileged opportunity our church has had to be a part of going and being there in Cuba. Also, Patton, I want to invite you, couples who are here, join us for Valentine's, our Valentine's banquet. We'd love to have you headed in here. Last year had a great group of folks, and you'll enjoy that. And you men will score a lot of points if you listen to Pastor Mike right now. So just no pressure. Just wanted to bring it up so you could think about it. All right, Todd, are we ready to go here?
Just about. All right. Well, let me just paraphrase what's happened. and I don't think Shane's going to mind me sharing this. A few months ago, back in the summer of last year, Shane came to the church and needed some help. He'd had some problems with his shoulder, and he needed surgery from hard work, the type of labor he does. And so as we began to talk to him, he found out that he didn't know Jesus. And so it just happened that a few of the young men were coming to meet with me that day at the church. And so I just felt led of the Lord to say, look, this guy needs to get plugged in with some young men. I'm looking old. I know that now. And so I got these young guys together, and I said, you guys need to meet me in room C106. There's a guy coming in here that's got some questions about the Lord, and I think it'd just be good for you to get to know him. Long story short, all of these men led Shane to the Lord. And he's now come through his surgery, still strong as an ox, and he's back at work. And he's led someone to the Lord today. And that young man's come forward now. So come on up, Dalton. And this is his mother. This is his mother, Jessica. And Jessica knows the Lord, but she's never been baptized, and she needs to do that, and she wants to join this church. And Dalton asked the Lord into his heart just a few days ago. So if you rejoice in their decisions to follow Jesus and to let their mess become God's grace and allow them to have eternal life, would you just raise your hand and say amen? Congratulations, you two.
Stay up here. We want you to stay up here for a minute. Everybody will want to come by and say a word to these folks on your way out. God bless you. Let's stand together. Steve's going to lead us. We'll see you tonight.
Please come tonight. The Cuba story is amazing. It's amazing. You need to come tonight, 6 o'clock.
Let's say our benediction together. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors.